Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Now a crossover ball poked away by Giannis. He's going the other way in the open floor, glides to the rim, and sends it down with the dagger.
Butts Talk starts now.
And how about 14-1 all-time in NBA Cup action? A 147-134 overtime win against the Charlotte Hornets.
And now, live from Fiserv Forum, here's Justin Garcia.
Well, it wasn't ugly, it wasn't pretty, but it's a win tonight for the Bucks, who are 10-0 all-time in the group play stages of NBA Cup play, 14-1 overall, when you factor in the knockout rounds, and of course winning the entire Cup a season ago. Look, if you just zoom in and only pay attention to the box score tonight, you probably had heightened expectations when you saw the Charlotte Hornets on the schedule and would be a bit surprised to learn it took overtime to beat this Hornets team. The fact that the Bucks trailed by double figures, and this was really a struggle for large portions of this game, especially what midway through the second quarter and until early into the fourth. But don't be deceived by that. As I mentioned, it wasn't pretty. It wasn't ugly. There are some positives from this. There are certainly some things that need to continue to be cleaned up. But I think most importantly, you're seeing a step forward, you hope, on the glass tonight against the Charlotte Hornets team that is really good on the offensive glass. Came in second best in the league in offensive rebounding rate. You limited them to 23% tonight, which, you know, is certainly very good for what we've seen from the Bucks so far this season, but that's good by any stretch of the imagination. You really want to be around the mid-70s for your defensive rebounding rate. And the Bucks were there tonight. I thought they were better on the glass. A big part of that is going to be the lineup change that they made to start the game and how much they stagger guys and just keeping size on the floor for extended minutes tonight against a bigger Charlotte Hornets team without one of their bigs that really hurt you two nights ago in Ryan Kalkbrenner. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk as the Bucks get to 8-5 on the season. Mentioned the details of the NBA Cup and the spot the Bucks currently find themselves in. We'll dig into that in a little more detail coming up a little later in the show, but wanted to talk about this starting lineup change that we saw tonight. I know it's something that's come up from a handful of you that have listened and called into this show and expressed your concerns in other avenues as well, whether or not a change is coming to the starting lineup. I think we knew one way or another there was going to be some type of change. You know, maybe that's going to be a couple weeks from now. We assume when Kevin Porter Jr. sounds like he's going to be able to return to this team, it's probably going to be sometime in early December there. But you wondered, what does that mean for the starting backcourt? You know, Ryan Rollins has certainly played well enough that you can't really justify taking him out of there. Do you play Kevin Porter Jr. and Ryan Rollins together? Do you continue to play three guards and try to make it work? I don't know how far down the path we got of inserting somebody else in there with size, and that being Kyle Kuzma, but I think it paid big dividends tonight. And what Doc Rivers had to say after the game, the reason why they believe this is something that can work is the way Kyle Kuzma plays. And one of the things that we noticed, you know, quite a bit last season was when the Bucks offense would get stagnant, it's not always the quote-unquote hero ball. It's not always, you know, the ball not touching both sides of the floor or one pass or fewer. Sometimes it can get stagnant because guys can have a tendency to just sit back and watch Giannis and wait for his opening, wait to see what type of look you can get from him. Kyle Kuzma doesn't do that. At least not the version of Kuz that we've seen so far this season. Doc Rivers, a couple of times, has talked about his cutting ability and what that's opened up for the team. But he mentioned specifically one of the things that we looked at and why we feel like this can work with Kyle Kuzma and Giannis and Miles Turner on the floor together is because Miles Turner is going to play outside and he's going to make the opposing team's bigs a little uncomfortable to have to play out there with him. And Kyle Kuzma is going to cut to the basket. So when that double team comes, when teams not build a wall but just try to show more length and more bodies at Giannis, Kyle Kuzma is the guy that's making that cut to the basket. And whether that's him finishing at the rim, which he did quite a bit of tonight, or that cut playing a big role in just dragging one of those defenders either off of Giannis or peeling somebody off of the paint to create a better look for the perimeter guys, that's why they feel like this can and will work. And I think offensively it did tonight. Defensively as well. I mentioned this on the network portion of the postgame. I'm going to be very curious to see the numbers that come out tomorrow. You know, the analytics to show us by the numbers, how did this starting five look? How were the minutes with Giannis and Kyle Kuzma and Miles Turner on the floor together? Because the eye test to me said they were really good. And in a very limited sample size so far this season, that trio, when they share the floor, the Bucks have been extremely good. 855-616-1620. The Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight as the Bucks improve to 8-5 on the season and again remain the only team that has yet to lose a game in the group play stages of the NBA Cup. We'll take an extensive look at the rest of Group C and what it appears we may be headed towards, if we can make any type of assessment there. Preview the next two and final two group play games for the Bucks. They're both road games. That was the interesting quirk to this schedule, is not only did you play both of your home games early in your first two group play games, but your two road games are arguably against your toughest competition in Group C. So we'll take a look at the rest of the standings there, and also a look at tomorrow's opponent, what to expect from the Los Angeles Lakers. Plenty of time to hear from you as well. Again, 855-616-1620. The Siding Unlimited talk and text line. More after this on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk. Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
.147-134 final tonight. Bucks hang on and outlast the Charlotte Hornets. I forget what the exact number was. I know before the game Charles Lee joked it was in the thousands. It felt like it. I believe it was about 350. Friends and family of Con Knipple that were here up until a couple of moments ago. I mean, when the game ended and players had cleared the court, you have everybody on the floor right now trying to change out the court because we got a Marquette game here tomorrow morning and then the Bucks playing in the evening. But you had two entire sections after the game full of friends and family members of Con Knipple here to watch him play his first game on the road in Milwaukee as an NBA player. It is the biggest. I mean, we've seen sections of fans, friends and family in the past. Tyrese Halliburton's crew always adds up to a pretty big amount of people. When the Warriors were in town for years, there were always a couple of sections that made up a handful of those groups with guys like Kevon Looney and Jordan Poole and others here. Patrick Baldwin Jr. when he was on the club. This is far and away the most I have ever seen for a cheering section for an opposing player. And, I mean, Con Knipple, he gave him something to cheer for tonight. I mean, he came into this game tonight as the leading scorer among all rookies. Had a pretty good game against the Bucks 2 days ago in the road game in Charlotte. But tonight, he was fantastic. 32 points, a new career high in the brief career of Knipple. He hit some big shots. And it just felt like in the overtime frame, he and the rest of his teammates just seemingly ran out of gas tonight for the Charlotte Hornets. But look, I don't think there's many in the listening audience that not only weren't familiar with Con Knipple, but hadn't seen much of Con Knipple. If that is the case, you leave extremely impressed with what you saw from Knipple tonight. And, you know, it goes back to what we talked about at the start of the show. If you just zoom in at the box score and leave this with the take of, man, the Bucks needed overtime to put away the Charlotte Hornets, and they trailed by, you know, as much of the game as they did trail. fell down by 20 points, still had some issues to work through. Turnovers, we'll get to in a second. This is a different Hornets team. They're probably not a playoff team, at least not this season, but there's some nice pieces there. With LaMelo Ball and some of the gravity that he can bring in his playmaking ability, Con Canipoli, you certainly got something in him. Didn't see Ryan Kalkbrenner tonight. You did two nights ago, and there's a lot to like about him. Musa Diabate, I can assure you, the Bucks are not the only team he does this against, but it seems to be even better against the Bucks. There's a lot of really nice pieces on this Charlotte Hornets team, and it feels like they are building towards something. 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. The Bucks are building towards something as well. As you won 8 of your first 13 games to start the season, and I believe we're rapidly getting there to a quarter mark of the season, so it's too early to get into any of your projections for it. This is what they're on pace for. But as we're almost to the 20-game mark, Bucks are currently on pace for the high 40s in wins, which their over-under coming into the season was, I believe, 42.5. I thought coming in they'd be somewhere around 45, 46 wins and probably finish maybe the same as they were last year, somewhere in that 4-5 range, very likely. Ideally, if everything broke their way, you could talk me into, hey, the Bucks finished with the third best record in the East. If we saw more improvement from other teams in the Eastern Conference proved to be tougher than many imagined, I think they could finish sixth even. But I didn't see this team being a play-in tournament team. Not as long as you had Giannis. You added Miles Turner, which we had said, and I think so far we have seen, should make you better on both ends of the floor. And the question was just, who was going to be the next guy to step up? Depth was the big thing for this group. They're deeper than they've been in recent years, and that's one way to minimize any inefficiencies in those minutes that Giannis has been off the floor. Early in the season, those minutes were not great for the Bucks, and it still leaves some to be desired. You still need to improve in those minutes. It's going to be a challenge for the remainder of the season because, in the past few years, when Giannis was off the floor, you still had Drew Holiday, you still had Chris Middleton, you still had Damian Lillard and Brooke Lopez, where you had at least one of those guys on the floor, and in many cases, two on the floor at all times when Giannis was off. And that was going to be, we can anchor our defense on this, we can facilitate some of the scoring with this. This year, it's not to say you don't have any of that. You just don't have the name brand recognition in those areas. But 13 games into the season, what we've seen is Ryan Rollins is that guy. He's one of those guys to put into the conversation. It took a handful of games. Doc Rivers acknowledged, look, part of this, or the big reason why, is because our bench just hasn't been good. But we've seen more of the staggering of minutes between Giannis and Miles Turner. And what that does, it keeps a stretch five on the floor at all times. In the case of Miles Turner, it gives you rim protection at all times as well. I mean, we've seen some of those instances where neither of those two are on the floor, and that's where you primarily see the Bucks go to zone. But that seems to have helped defensively some of those threats at the rim. But Ryan Rollins continues his ascent here. There's really two big takeaways from this game tonight. And two of them are things we've talked about through the first 12 games of the season that have really started to add up here. Ryan Rollins and his massive leap here. I think coming into the season, the expectation for Ryan Rollins was that, okay, you got a guy that is definitely a rotational piece, is definitely a guy that can play in this league. What you saw last year, you were incredibly high on his defense, and I think for many of us, the thought was, given the trajectory he showed you last year, I think there's a good chance that Ryan Rollins could develop into he's arguably our best bench player, and he's a guy that really makes it tough on opposing guards defensively. We've seen that. And I think the defense maybe hasn't been as impactful by the numbers and with any highlight reel plays that we were seeing quite a bit of early in the season from Rollins. But I think there's a couple of caveats to apply to that. Offensively, even if you were, you know, leading the charge and higher on Ryan Rollins than anyone, I don't know that any of us saw this many 20-point performances in Rollins. The back-to-back nights where he had 25 points, or back-to-back games, 25 and 32 points in those wins against the Knicks and the Golden State Warriors. But just the consistent threat. He's scoring at all three levels. He's got great speed, and he can accelerate and decelerate. His deceleration is what really opens everything up for him, and he's just got this burst that even now, you know, with the tape that's out there on him from last season, with the 13 games this season, he still continues to get by guys that it's almost surprising. You don't realize he has as much burst as he does to get to and finish at the rim. He was shooting an even higher percentage at the rim than Giannis was coming into this game tonight. And when you can do that, that's how you open up those outside shots. If you can put that pressure on the rim, it forces defenses to collapse, and not just on Giannis. So his development remains huge for this team. But the other thing about Rollins, we talked about this specifically within the game broadcast tonight. There was that stretch where I believe it was four that the Hornets went up by late in the fourth quarter, and immediately Ryan Rollins comes down, hits a three. You get another chance on the next possession. He doesn't hit it, but two possessions later, he hits another three and puts the Bucks in front. You think back to that moment. You think back to the Warriors game, the Knicks game, a handful of games. It doesn't even have to be the closing minutes of a game. Rollins has consistently been the guy hitting those shots when you need it to either halt a run or a big moment when you're answering a big shot from the opposing team. It's been Ryan Rollins doing that, and that's what makes you most excited about his continued development here because, you know, again, there was a lot of uncertainty coming into this season with the future and where do things go post this season. Ryan Rollins and his development and what he's shown you as a two-way player, that quiets a lot of that because of his fit with Giannis. And there's one other guy that has silenced quite a bit of it. And the funny thing is, this is a guy that most fans looked at coming into this season as nothing more than a contract to be traded. But the Bucks don't have 8 wins in 13 games if it's not for Kyle Kuzma. And especially, you can make that case very strongly tonight, but all season long, the impact that Kyle Kuzma has had. We'll get into that conversation as well coming up after this.
You're listening to Bucks Talk. The round ball repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
.147-134, our final score tonight. Fiserv Forum Bucks take down the Charlotte Hornets. 2-0 now in the group play stage of the NBA Cup, and they are 10-0 all-time in group play games, in this being the third season of the NBA Cup. This is a very, very grueling schedule that the Bucks have in front of them to close out this month, not only in just the number of games that they have, but the quality of opponents that the Bucks have in this stretch here. I mean, these two, and really this stretch of games, two against the Hornets, one against the Mavericks, when you looked at the schedule, I mean, let's just look at the entire month. Yeah, the Raptors earlier in the season, earlier in the month of November, Toronto's been a much better team. Since that win, second game of the season, Toronto's been playing pretty well. That maybe not the best barometer. You were in Indiana the night before, didn't arrive in Toronto until roughly 3 in the morning. But that Raptors team took it to you, and they're a pretty good team. The Bulls were off to a tremendous start. started to come back to earth a little bit. So the first week or so of the month of November, you had the Bulls, you had the Sacramento Kings, and that really is your most frustrating loss of the season, the Indiana Pacers. After that, Houston Rockets. This three-game stretch was critical. Mavs, two against the Hornets. Because of the rest of your schedule in November, you needed to take at least two of those games, ideally three, because of what's waiting for you. And what's waiting for you is in your next seven games. You got eight games left in this month of November. Eight games yet. Yeah, I mean, we're already towards the end of the month, midway through it technically, and you got eight games left. Those eight games are against teams, seven of the eight, I should say. We'll leave the Brooklyn Nets game out of it for now. Right now they're off to a 1-11 start, which is tied with the Wizards and the Pacers for the worst record in the Eastern Conference, worst record in basketball, for that matter. But your next seven games are coming against teams that have a combined 636 win percentage. Their aggregate record is 56-32. That is the Lakers tomorrow night, who will also be on night two of a back-to-back, but the Lakers right now fifth in the West at 9-4. Then you have another road game with the Cleveland Cavaliers on Monday night. Cleveland is fourth in the Eastern Conference, 8-5, same record as you. The Bucks, by the way, are currently fifth. After Cleveland is where it gets interesting. You do get 2 days off, but then you're going to close out the rest of the playing every other night or back-to-back. You come home to take on the Philadelphia 76ers. So that's the other thing to keep in mind. You're going to play in Cleveland next Monday, or this upcoming Monday. You'll fly home Monday evening, and you're home from then until the day before, 2 days before Thanksgiving. You will be home the morning by the time that game ends, the morning of Tuesday, November 18th. You don't leave Milwaukee until the following Tuesday. But then you have the Philadelphia 76ers, who got off to a very strong start this season. They've gone 5-5 in their last 10, pretty similar to the Bucks. They're 7-5 now. After Philly, then it gets really interesting. We get our first look at the Detroit Pistons, who are 11-2 to start the season. Their defense has been incredible. They've won nine straight games. Cade Cunningham is playing like the second-best player in the conference behind you-know-who. So our first real look at the Pistons comes next weekend, November 22nd, here in Milwaukee. Then Drew Holiday and the Blazers come to Milwaukee in your only game during the week there that is not a cup game. And then you have those two big cup games, the night before Thanksgiving in Miami against the Heat, the night after Thanksgiving in New York against the Knicks, and then you finish out the month against the woeful, right now, Brooklyn Nets. It lets up some in the month of December. You get this Hornets team again. You get the Memphis Grizzlies. You get the Indiana Pacers. You get two games with the Washington Wizards, but you still got two games with the Pistons. You got a game with the Raptors. And then we don't know. Either you're going to be playing semifinals or quarterfinals games in the NBA Cup, or you're going to have two games that are scheduled randomly against teams that did not qualify for the quarterfinals. So if you can get through this stretch right now with these eight games remaining, and let's say you go 5-3 in those games and finish the month of November, get through October through November with a 13-8 schedule, I think you'll take that, given the teams that were on that schedule going into the season. Even going back to, you know, late October, the Cavs, the Knicks, the Golden State Warriors, two games with the Raptors. 13-8 is a pretty good start, all things considered, especially considering you played a bulk of those games, all of those games, all but 9 minutes, without the guy that coming into the season was your starting point guard. 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. I mentioned Ryan Rollins, but there's one other name that needs to be mentioned. That is Kyle Kuzma and what he's done so far for this team. Again, coming into the season, I think everybody kind of, to say Bucks fans were skeptical of Kyle Kuzma, I think would really be underselling a lot of the general vibes and feelings surrounding Kyle Kuzma. I'm not here to tell you Kyle Kuzma was good with the Bucks a season ago. He was not, and I think he has acknowledged that and would be the first to say, no, it wasn't good enough. It wasn't what they brought me in for. This season, it's been more than good enough on both ends of the floor. And I just keep going back to this. A lot of times in basketball and life, fit is an incredibly important thing in how things come together. The fit wasn't great last year. You know, we heard from John Horst, this wasn't a second apron or a financial thing. This was Kyle Kuzma. That was the thing, because of what we thought he could do for us and unlock some things offensively and defensively for us. That's how we wanted to play. We were targeting Kyle Kuzma specifically. This wasn't a move to shed money and to get under the second apron so we could do some other things, which, by the way, is important to get out of that second apron, because of what it meant, you know, not only at the trade deadline, but other things available to the Bucks. Now, look, would they have waived and stretched Damian Lillard even if they were a second apron team? Probably. I think that's what we've seen. If, in the sliding doors here, Damian Lillard still injures his Achilles, ruptures his Achilles if no move for Kyle Kuzma is made. But trade deadline. If you don't make that trade and save enough money to take you under the second apron, a guy that we saw tonight for 10 very solid minutes, Jericho Sims, he's not on this team. Because that trade with the Knicks, you gave DeLon Wright and cash. And if you're a second apron team, you can't include cash in a deal. Some of the other signings that you made in the offseason, you don't have those things, like the non-taxpayer, like the biannual exception to free up and use. Room exception is what it became with Kevin Porter Jr., but we thought, okay, this is the non-taxpayer mid-level that they're splitting up. You don't have that, and all you can do is the bare minimum, literally, veteran minimum. So it was important to make in terms of a financial trade. But, you know, we've heard, I hate to even go there, but Nico Harrison using the trust the vision. If this was, in fact, the vision from John Horst of, no, we recognize we got to get younger, we got to get more athletic, we need a big or a bigger forward that can do some of these things for us, and we think Kyle Kuzma is that guy. We're seeing that vision now. You know, we talked about his cutting ability and how important that is with Giannis, but defensively, he continues to be your Swiss Army knife and take on some of your more difficult assignments up and down the roster, up and down the floor from the opponent here. And fit and why it's important. You look no further than last year versus this year for Kyle Kuzma. Like, you wanted him to play the same way a season ago. You wanted him to be a transition player and a guy that's taking on those incredibly tough defensive assignments. The problem is, you know, the lineups that you had Kyle Kuzma on the floor with last year, it was a different version of the Bucks. They were not built to play this style, to get up and down the floor, to be more athletic. They were an older team, you know, where you're talking about guys like Brook Lopez on the floor, Torian Prince, who, you know, I do want to get to the update we got from the Bucks on Torian Prince, but there wasn't a whole lot of help in terms of transition game for Kyle Kuzma. And then defensively, same story, right? If he's on the floor in the minutes where Giannis is not, and you're saying take on the toughest defensive assignment, last year's group, you didn't have quite as much help defensively as you do with this group. So the fit is much better. And again, a lot of credit needs to go to Kyle Kuzma for embracing this role. You know, whether or not it's a role he should have embraced prior to this, you know, that's not for us to determine. But he has embraced it this year to be a role player, to be a guy that's doing the dirty work. And that's working for this team. You'd still love to see the shooting numbers start to raise a little bit here for Kuzma. But everything else, you absolutely love what you're seeing from Kuz. And here's the other thing. One of the under-discussed things is free throws. You know, I've mentioned quite a bit, this team right now is not good enough at knocking down free throws. They were one of the better teams a season ago. They are last in free throw efficiency so far this season. It's a number of things, right? You got to get to the line more. Bucks have not really been getting there enough in these past couple of games. You got to get there more. one of the ways you were able to get there was you got Giannis and you got Damian Lillard, two guys that can get to the free throw line quite a bit. But even when you get there, you know, when you draw those fouls, you get your opponent into the penalty and you're taking advantage of that. Think about the guys that are no longer here who were knocked down free throw shooters. Damian Lillard, obviously one of the best. He and Steph Curry, 1-2 every single year since Dame's been in the league as the best free throw shooters out there. Brooke Lopez, an incredibly good free throw shooting big man. Chris Middleton was a solid free throw shooter. Torian Prince, who you had last year, you had early this season. Torian Prince is a pretty good free throw shooter as well. So that's a big part of it. Kyle Kuzma, you'd love to see the numbers come up. Kyle Kuzma is the guy getting to the line second most frequently for the Bucks so far this season. That is his up and down transition play. Just getting out and attacking. Coming into the game tonight, he was getting to the free throw line three times a game. He was hitting 2.5 of those. Which, again, for where this team was sitting, under 70% free throw shooting, for what Kyle Kuzma is doing, it's been very, very needed for this group. Tonight, for Kuzma, by the way, you continue to see that. Pushing the pace, getting down the floor, getting into the paint and playing in transition. He took 7 free throws tonight. He's shooting 81% at the free throw line. 52% field goal percentage for Kuzma. Still sub 30% on threes, but he's taken rhythm threes at least this year. I think that's the big change where, look, he's limiting the amount of threes. He's only averaging 3 attempts per game. They've been rhythm threes. If he's going to miss rhythm threes, you'll live with it. Everything else has been fantastic from Kyle Kuzma. They don't win this game tonight without Kyle Kuzma, and there's at least 2 other games you can point to on the schedule this season and say, the Bucks don't win this game if it's not for the efforts of Kyle Kuzma. 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. We'll take a look at the rest of Group C in the NBA Cup here. We had 2 games going on as we started the show. One of those has gone final, and one is down to the final 10 seconds. So we'll update you on the rest of the scores and take a peek ahead at tomorrow's matchup with the Lakers. Coming up next on Bucks Talk.
The hardwood homilies continue after this. This is Bucks Talk. This is Bucks Talk.
Another one of the Kyle Kuzma games. Kyle Kuzma leading the team in scoring tonight. Terrific defensively once more. And he was one of 8 double-digit scorers for the Bucks, who beat the Hornets 147-134 in overtime. 29 from Kuzma. He had 3 20-point scores. The 29 from Kuz, 25 from Giannis, and 20 from Ryan Rollins. Here's the other thing. I don't love the plus-minus number. It doesn't always tell the full story. It's very dependent on who you're on the floor with and who is or isn't on the floor for your opponents. But the Bucks had 4 guys tonight in a game that you won in overtime and did end up winning by 13. But in a game that was very close for large stretches of the game, the Bucks had 4 players with a plus-20 or more. A game-high plus-27 for Miles Turner, who we didn't mention nearly enough tonight, but his 2 threes to start overtime were huge. 27, plus 27 from Turner, plus 26 from Ryan Rollins, and plus 25 from both Kyle Kuzma and A.J. Green. Giannis had the lowest plus minus of any of the starters tonight at plus 18. Starting lineup was very good. They're still searching with the bench, and I think Doc Rivers has talked about that. You did end up getting 3 20-point scores, or 3 double-digit scores. But there's a lot to like, I think, about how this starting lineup, the version we saw tonight, fits together. 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited talk and text line. Let's head to the phone lines, talk with Aaron in Minneapolis.
Hey, listen, yeah, big game for Kuz for sure. No excuses, and I'm all in on Kuzmania. I'm juicy for Kuzy, but I do want to say that tonight I noticed In the clutch time, Jericho Sims actually looked pretty good out there, and I thought it was interesting because last year Doc would only put him in during garbage time, you know, but he put him in there in like an actual thoughtful rotation. And to my eyes, he looked pretty good out there. And what he showed in last year was flashes, but like, what were you saying on the court for Jericho Sims tonight?
Did he actually get any minutes in the clutch? I don't know about that, but to your point, I agree. I thought Jericho Sims was good tonight. He played 1 minute in the fourth quarter. He had one bad play or sequence, and that was, I think, in the second quarter. It was a, I think it was Plumlee that was running the floor, and Jericho Sims just kind of lost him, and it was an end-to-end dunk. And Doc called the timeout and pulled him immediately. After that, I thought Jericho Sims was very good. You could see him trying to be physical in this one tonight with the bigs that that Charlotte was putting out there. You know, you mentioned Plumlee and what he did, but especially Musa Diabate, and knowing, like, we just got to put a body on him, and then it's on the rest of the guys to rebound. I thought he was energetic. He helped you on the glass. And, you know, it certainly seemed like in the past couple of games, I don't know how much of this has to do with the schedule, that any way you slice it, it's a lot of games and not quite as many in just as many days. Seven games in 11 days, 6-9, 5-7, starting with that Rockets game. So I don't know how much of this is, you know, we saw the scheduled day off for Giannis and Charlotte a couple of nights ago. I don't know how much of Jericho Sims getting around 10 minutes the last couple of games here is, let's just bake in some downtime for some of these other guys, and how much of it is Doc Rivers acknowledging, like, we just need to put more size on the floor. We got to play bigger and get more rebounds here. But I thought Jericho Sims was very good tonight in his 10 minutes out there. Three rebounds. I think one of them was on the offensive glass. And, you know, we've seen Cole Anthony, especially in those minutes that he has with them, trying to find ways to get him the ball to finish around the rim. And when the Bucks played the Knicks earlier in the season, Doc was asked about Jericho Sims specifically from some of the New York media. And I forget who it was. I think Ian Begley asked and prefaced it with, I know he's not in your rotation, but... And Doc quickly pushed back and said, no, he is. He's a part of this team. He's going to be a big part of the team by the end of the year. We really like all the traits. And obviously the athleticism that he brings, especially in some of those zone lineups that the Bucks have leaned into defensively. I think you're going to continue to see him. Maybe it's no more than what we've seen these past couple of games in 10 or 15 minutes, but I don't think, at least in the short term, we're going to go through a stretch where you don't see Jericho Sims at all for consecutive games. Like, they need to rebound. They need to continue to get better at it. They were pretty good, I think, tonight after the early portions of the second quarter. They were good. You know, this was one of their better rebounding performances so far this season. But Jericho Sims is a guy that can help you out there. 855-616-1620, Siding Unlimited Talk and Text Line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. All the games have now gone final for tonight's slate of action here. Nine games played total for group play in the NBA Cup. The big one, as it pertains to the Bucks, was in New York, where the Knicks, without Jalen Brunson, beat the Miami Heat. So the Bucks are the only team in their group that is unbeaten. Your group is obviously you and the Hornets, the Knicks and Heat, and the Chicago Bulls. Bulls were idle tonight. So the Heat, Knicks, and Bulls are all 1-1. Hornets are 0-2. Bucks are 2-0. In the previous 2 years of the NBA Cup, no team that lost two games in group play advanced to the knockout rounds. So Charlotte is done for all intents and purposes here. You look at other teams that are 0-2, 76ers and Brooklyn Nets. 76ers, by the way, two tough losses in their group play games, but those two teams probably eliminated from contention. And you got now four teams that are unbeaten. The Bucks in Group B, the Pistons and the Magic are both 2-0. And Group A is probably settled already. The Toronto Raptors are 2-0. Their group is Hawks, Cavs, Pacers, and Wizards. Hawks and Cavs are both 1-1. The Raptors' two wins are against the Hawks and the Cavs. So their two remaining cup games are against the Pacers and Wizards, who right now are combined 2-22. So it does seem as though Toronto is going to be headed to the knockout rounds here. 855-616-1620. Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. The schedule that remains for these teams, what to expect from the rest of the NBA Cup. And tomorrow against the Lakers, we'll preview that matchup and wrap things up next on Bucks Talk.
You're listening to Bucks Talk. Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
All right, night two of a back-to-back tomorrow for the Bucks with Luka Doncic and the Lakers coming into town. Lakers did play tonight as well. They were in New Orleans taking on the Pelicans. Luka still played 30-plus minutes in that game. So they didn't, despite winning by double digits and getting up pretty big in the early going of the second half, weren't able to build in as much off time as you would have hoped in that matchup. A couple of numbers to take a look at here before we wrap up on tonight's edition of Bucks Talk. You know, with this performance tonight, the Bucks continuing to climb in offensive efficiency. They're tied with the Cleveland Cavaliers for the eighth best offense in the league now. Each of those two teams, Bucks and Cavs, have played 13 games. And as we mentioned, Bucks are going to play the Cavs for the second time this season on Monday night. But offense hasn't been the problem. Even things like, you know, turnovers were a problem tonight, but turnover rates on offense, in other words, percentage of possessions you have that end in a turnover, the Bucks are in the top 10. They're tied with the Miami Heat for eighth best in the league. You wouldn't know it just watching tonight's game. The problem has been on the defensive side. And season to date, Bucks are 21st. Defensively, obviously nowhere near good enough. There was a lot of hope coming into the season of, hey, could the Bucks even be knocking on the door of a top 10 defense? You feel like Miles Turner gives you a little more mobility, you got more athleticism out there. Not to single out and take shots at any individual players here, but you don't have an undersized point guard in the backcourt defensively anymore either. The teams could try to get on switches and target, so you felt good about that. And it looked like it was working in the early going. Granted, it's a small sample size. But in the month of October, it was really clicking. You know, in those five games, and against pretty good opponents for the most part. Obviously, you open up with the Washington Wizards. But in those games, the Bucks had the sixth best offense. They had a 111.4. defensive rating, which is ninth best in the league, and that led to a net rating that was seventh best. 111.4 defensive rating. In the month of November, you are now 4-4 in your games played here. They're ninth in offense. 117.5, which is less than a point per 100 possessions behind what their October offensive efficiency was, 118.3. Your offense has been consistent. Defensively, from October to November, the Bucks went from 111.4, which again was ninth best in the league, to 118.9, which is 20th in the league. And a big reason for that is the rebounding. Defensive rebounding has continued to be an issue for this Bucks team so far this season. They were in the middle of the pack, which is not ideal for where this team has routinely been, but in the middle of the pack in the month of October. They are second worst in defensive rebounding in the month of November. That's how you see your defensive efficiency slide. If you don't close out possessions and you give your opponent second chance opportunities, those are the things that come back to bite you. That and costly turnovers. Again, it hasn't been an issue. Tonight obviously was. The volume of turnovers they had there. But it started to creep upward just a little bit. They went from 11 points given up to the opponent on second chance points, points off of turnovers, 11 per game in October, to nearly 17 so far in the month of November. And that certainly continued tonight. With the volume of turnovers they had in that win against the Charlotte Hornets. I mean, 22 turnovers, 31 points scored off of turnovers. Those are highs for the Bucks, and those are highs for the Hornets. So for this defense to get better, got to stop fouling. And Doc was asked about A.J. Green before the game, who's had a tendency to pick up fouls in bunches, and asked, you know, is this just doesn't have the respect whistle from the officials, or what is it? And Doc cut it off pretty quickly and said, no, he's committing fouls. Got to clean up the fouls. You have to improve rebounding. And again, it was improved tonight. I think a big part of that is the size that the Bucks were playing with at the start of the game and throughout the game. So I do think this is something that's here to stay with this starting lineup, to try to rebound the ball. Get the ball, finish possessions. That's going to help your defense grow and get to where it needs to be. If your offense is going to play like this, again, consistently one of the 10 best in the league, you don't need a top 10 defense, but at the very least, you got to be knocking on the door of that in the top half of the league. So how you get there is rebound the basketball. And again, this was a nice step forward in tonight's win. Tomorrow night, Luka Doncic and the Lakers come to town. As we mentioned, fifth best record in the Western Conference right now. So this will be a nice little showdown between the number 5 team in the East and the number 4 team, I beg your pardon, in the Western Conference. 7 o'clock tip tomorrow night from Fiserv Forum. 6:30 is when our pregame coverage begins on these stations. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk with you all once again tomorrow night.